Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Boy, do we have stuff coming up today. Early here, 10:20, former Cavs guard Mark Price is going to join us. We're going to talk about Lenny Wilkins, Mark's first head coach in the NBA. And a guy who, boy, taught that group so much about basketball. Mark's going to join us at 10:20. Mary Kay Cabot at 11 o'clock. Terry Pluto of Cleveland.com. Coming up at 11:40. Terry has a new book out. Terry, love it. Why can't this team just find a quarterback? And other life thoughts in Brownstown. and then at 1:20, I'm very sorry to say that Amy Dash, our Odyssey Sports legal insider, is going to join us. Why am I sorry? Because we have to have her on. Because we have a legal issue that we have to figure out with a couple of our baseball pitchers. And I say our baseball pitchers, probably short-term rather than long-term.
Yeah, this they're definitely month-to-month on the rent.
I couldn't agree more. We're going to get into the Browns big time during the show. And Dan Orlovsky of the ESPN folks said something about Kevin Stefanski that has some people cringing and other people saying, yep, that's exactly what I think, which is exactly what I think. That's coming up later in the show. We're going to start with Cavs because Mark's coming up at 10:20. Cavaliers last night went to Miami. Dan, they lost a basketball game. Did they lose a point guard, which is the question that we all have to think about right now. The game was an entertaining game, a lot of points. A lot of threes. Was 140 to 138. Miami Heat in overtime. Defensive breakdown in overtime on an alley-oop to former Cavalier number one overall pick Andrew Wiggins to win that basketball game. But can I just cringe about one thing? Cavaliers put up 65 three-pointers in the game.
That's very anti-you. That's a style of basketball you are not a fan of.
I'm not. The Miami Heat won. They put up 36. Just saying. Whatever. That's the deal. They hit the same percentage. But, you know, three is more than two, so the analytics say jack them up. Nonetheless, Darius Garland re-injured his big toe that was surgically repaired, that hindered him last season, that kept him out at the beginning of this season. That is a concern. He played 19 minutes. Forget his stats. He played 19 minutes, had to leave the game. Problem.
Massive problem. Now, problem in that the short term, I think, is the problem.
Yeah.
I wonder if we are going to find out how severe this re-injuring of the toe truly is. I wonder that because is this one of those where he's like, hey, I felt a bit of a twinge, and they were like, sit him down, get him done. Because
although he went back out.
Right.
He felt it, went back out. I'm no doctor.
Nor am I.
Scar tissue?
Maybe.
You know,
maybe tearing
from
up some
a
of that.
Surgery?
Yeah.
Who knows? Hopefully it's not a really big injury because Darius is obviously critical to the success of this basketball team, and he's one heck of a basketball player.
But the thing, Jeff, we know what the end goal is, which is this team needs to find their way to at least the Eastern Conference Finals. And so anything you're going to do during the regular season is all going to be with the Eastern Conference Finals in mind. And so if Darius Garland comes to you and says, hey, my toe's bugging me, can I go back out and give it a whirl? And you're going to say to him, okay, fine, give it a whirl. But if you feel even the slightest bit more pain, tell me.
Which is what Kenny Atkinson did. Kenny said, I trust the players in that situation. And he felt like he was okay to go, so I let him go. I don't have an issue with that.
I don't either. It's why I actually don't really have a concern with him saying the big toe hurt and I need to take a step back. Because
except for the fact that he was in serious pain. Yeah. Well, your goal is May. Big toes end careers.
Yes.
People, you know, if you've never had a big toe injury and you've never had an issue with it, you won't understand how debilitating it can be. You know, if your big toe is messed up and hurting, you can't walk properly, let alone run properly. And you can't walk pain-free. So we'll find out today. Cavs, we're going to have a practice today. But according to our buddy Chris Fedor from Plain Dealer and Cleveland.com, they canceled practice. It was an overtime game. It went nuts. Darius got hurt. They're staying in Miami. This is one of those weird things where it's you're in Miami, day off, you're in Miami. And I've always wondered why they don't do more of that in the NBA rather than, hey, let's move everything from one hotel to another and put everybody on a plane and spend a lot of money. Obviously, they can make the money and it's not an issue there, but I've always thought, you're there, why don't you play too?
I've always thought a similar idea, though, again, having that much time off in South Beach with those
never
with
good
a bunch of NBA players is never the best thing. What or was it? MLB
the,
players.
The Cavs
or,
at one time had lost, I want to say it was 21 or 22 straight games in Miami. Having been to Miami with the Cavaliers, I can tell you I know why.
Mm-hmm. It happens. It's amazing how that happens.
It's
you find yourself in those situations. Yeah. You catch that South Beach flu, it just sneaks up on you.
Yeah, you sure do.
You know, that changing weather.
You sure
We've
do.
Got snow here, and you know it messes with your sinuses.
You sure do.
Can't help it. But are you concerned with Darius Garland, or are you seeing this through kind of the long view of like, hey?
No, I'm concerned.
Okay.
Yeah, I am concerned. Long view, sure, great. As long as you're back by, you know, the All-Star break. You want to get... I'll take the long view. Great. If you're injured, be back by the All-Star break so the team can mesh before you get to the playoffs. But I think that's dismissive of the situation. This team is not playing as well as it did last year. They have some things they need to work on. One of them, to me, is Darius, Donovan, and Evan Mobley finding the right chemistry for the three of them. I think they're all three tremendous basketball players. I don't like the chemistry they've had in the past because the shot distribution and the way things have worked, I think, needs tweaked. You don't tweak that unless you're out on the floor together. That said, I hope he can be back on the floor soon enough because, as I said, those injuries can be huge. I mean, they can shut you down. They can end your career. If you're a basketball player and you can't push off on your foot, and if you don't have a healthy big toe, you can't push off on your foot, that's bad. It's real bad.
Can I give you what's the best way to put this? Everything falls into place, though, for the worst reason possible situation?
Go ahead.
Does this somehow lead to Darius Garland becoming the sixth man off the bench for this team? And by that, I mean... this starts to go into place. Let's say, I don't know, they put Lonzo in the starting lineup. I don't think they should because I very much am wrapping that guy in bubble wrap because I'm worried about his knee making its way through the whole season. But let's say they put Lonzo into the starting lineup. He becomes your primary point guard. You start playing him 25, 30 minutes a night. You take off. Everything kind of starts to click. It's the Jeff Phelps idea. Okay, we've got a little bit more length here. Donovan Mitchell is a primary scorer. Evan Mobley becomes a primary scorer. Jared Allen, which we'll get into a little bit later because our buddy Chris Fedor had a really eye-opening stat when it came to him. Jared Allen kind of finds his place inside of there, and then when he comes back, they don't want to interrupt that. Darius Garland becomes the super sub off the bench. Six man, come on in. You anchor the second unit and go to town from there. Do you buy that, or am I wish-casting?
You're wish-casting.
Okay.
I think you're going to have a really hard time telling a young point guard who's been an all-star, hey, we're going to make you come off the bench now because it's better for the team. That's a tough sell.
Even after a guy's been paid?
That's a tough sell.
Even after he's been sitting on the bench watching success?
That's a tough sell.
Okay.
I hate that it's a tough sell because I think your idea is a great one. I do. And Darius coming off the bench is the... and I don't even want to call him a super sub. It's just a guy who's going to play 36 minutes. It's just going to, he's going to play it in a different way.
Right, and he'll be there in crunch time.
You know, for instance, Kevin McHale's in the Hall of Fame.
Mm-hmm.
Kevin came off the bench for a huge chunk of his career in Boston. Why? Well, we got Robert Parrish here, and we have Larry Bird here. It works better if I'm coming off the bench. He did it. His scoring was down a little bit because of it. His minutes were down a little bit because of it, but he's in the Hall of Fame. Why? Because he made that Celtics team click.
It's the Manu Ginobili theory with me, which I take nothing away from Manu Ginobili
for him.
With the fact that he was able to come off the bench, because I knew with 4 minutes left in the fourth quarter, that guy was on the floor.
Yeah.
Which is why I've never understood this whole thing of, oh my gosh, I'm a starter in the league, I don't want to come off the bench or anything. It's like, no, what matters is the last 4 minutes of a game, are you on the floor? Because if that's the case, then you are one of the five best players on this team and one of the five best players that can help bring this team a title. And so that's even why I'd look at Darius Garland and go, dude, it's fine that you're not starting. It's not like Andre Iguodala threw a fit because he wasn't starting over Kevon Looney or over Festus Ezeli or whoever else they had out there at that given time.
Anybody named Festus should be playing a lot.
It's a valid point. But they knew with 4 minutes left in the fourth quarter, that dude was on the floor.
Well, that makes...
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Makes perfect sense, but it's a tough sell. It is. Mark Price played point guard for the Cavaliers under one of the great point guards in NBA history, and that would be the late Lenny Wilkins, who just passed away over the weekend. Mark is going to join us to share his thoughts on his coach, on the Cavaliers coach who really got this thing going when this team was at the Coliseum and we had what became one of the legendary teams in franchise history. Mark's next to talk Lenny right here on Baskin and Phelps. Baskin and Phelps, Dan Menigan in for Andy today. I'm Jeff Phelps. On Sunday, one of the legendary figures in the NBA, one of the legendary figures in Cleveland sports, passed away at the age of 88, and that is former Cavs player. I think many people forget that Lenny was a Cavs player and Cavs coach Lenny Wilkins at the age of 88. A gentleman who played for Lenny, I know has a deep affection for Lenny, joins us right now on the Fan Hotline, and it's former Cavs point guard Mark Price. Mark, great to have you back with us today.
Good to be with you, Jeff.
What did you think when you heard the rough news about Lenny? 88 years old, I think we'd all say, thank you, I'll take 88 right now. But still, you don't. It's a rough thing when a guy who meant so much to so many in our town passes away.
Yeah, I actually Sunday I hadn't had an opportunity to watch many of the games or anything on Sunday, and so I flipped on SportsCenter, you know, early evening just to kind of check on some scores, and that was the first thing that popped up when I turned the TV on was the breaking news that Lenny had passed. And so it caught me, you know, hit me pretty hard right then and there. I knew Lenny was having some health issues, but you know, like you said, you're never quite ready when it happens. And obviously, Lenny had an impact on, you know, many people's lives in Cleveland. But I, in particular, for me, you know, the time I got to spend 7 years with Lenny, you know, and our relationship as player coach and friends and everything else, and so. Yeah, it was a sad day for sure.
Mark, you came into the NBA as a rookie. This team, when you came in, that was to me the beginning of a great era of Cavs basketball. Lenny's first year, you, Brad Daugherty, Hot Rod, Ron Harper, Johnny Newman, all rookies, with a guy who had already won an NBA title as a coach, had coached for 13 years, and was a former point guard. It couldn't have been a better hire by Wayne Embry, I wouldn't think, for the right guy at the right time with the right group. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I totally agree with that. I don't know if Lenny had ever been put in that situation before, because like you said, he had just, you know, not too far in the past, had coached Seattle to a championship. So he was used to coaching championship-level teams, and you know, that go into a total rebuilding situation with five rookies. I'm sure it was challenging, but with Lenny's personality and his calmness and just the way he went about business. He definitely was the perfect guy. He showed a lot of patience with us all that first year. And, you know, it really set the tone for what we were able to accomplish moving forward.
Mark Price joining us on the hotline. Mark, what did you learn from Lenny Wilkins about playing the point guard position that really stuck with you?
Well, obviously, Lenny was a great player himself, and so I could trust the fact that it was a guy that's been there and done that. You know, for me, even though I was a good player in college, I knew that NBA level was a big step up, and a lot of people, frankly, you know, didn't see me as a guy that was going to stick around very long, obviously. A lot of people passed on me in the draft, my size, whatever it might be. But I got to give Wayne Embry and Lenny Wilkins, you know, so much credit because I think they gave me an opportunity in Cleveland that I might not have gotten many other places. And they saw what I brought to the table, my ability to shoot the ball. And Lenny, I remember him saying, you know, I heard him say it in a few interviews when asked about me. And he said, well, I knew I could teach Mark some of the other things, but it's rare to find a guy that can shoot like he can. And I think Lenny saw that was going to be an advantage. He was a little bit ahead of the curve because, you know, you got to go back when I came in 86. You know, the idea of a point guard in the NBA was different. It was, you know, a guy that ran the team, got the ball to the right people, maybe make a shot when you're open from time to time. And yet I came in, you know, out of college with a scoring mentality. And Lenny didn't want to take that away from me, but also add the other pieces. And so, you know, to learn from a guy like that and a mentor, the pick and roll, I'd never played pick and roll basketball in college. And so, and that became my bread and butter that really was a game changer for me at the NBA level. So give a lot of credit to Lenny Wilkins for giving me that opportunity.
You know, Mark, that's the one thing about your game. And when I look back on it, I think Lenny couldn't have been a better fit for you because Lenny was kind of a scoring point guard before scoring point guards became anything. I think people forget, as good as he was at passing the ball, and he led the league in assists a couple of times, a 9-time All-Star, he averaged 16.5 points a game for his career. And I don't think people remember that about him. Had a couple of 20-point scoring seasons.
Yeah, he was a really good player, and you're right, he was ahead of the curve when it came to scoring point guards. So, you know, it was a real blessing for me to get to play for him. And the other thing about Lenny was that, you know, he was fair. He was, you know, the integrity that he had, because, you know, after, you know, I was a backup my rookie season, and then they drafted Kevin Johnson the following year in the draft at number 6, I believe it was. And for anybody that follows basketball, NBA basketball, whatever, you draft a lottery pick, they're expected to play and in most instances expected to start. And so it wasn't looking good for me there for a while because I was John Bagley was still on the roster who started. They drafted Kevin Johnson. NBA teams don't keep 3-point guards. And yet I remember Lenny let me know, along with Dick Helm, his top guy, that they thought it was a good opportunity for me. They didn't go into detail with that. But, you know, in my mind, I felt like, you know, they're going to give me a shot at this thing. And to Lenny's credit, allowed me an opportunity to compete for that starting position going into my second year. And I was able to win that in the preseason. And to Lenny's credit, he allowed me to do that. So that's something that you didn't see a lot happen in the NBA.
Mark, with that thought in mind, I want to take you back to a story you won't remember. It was that summer when they drafted Kevin, and my parents lived in the same place that you lived in. I wasn't working here yet, and I was home on vacation with my parents, and I'm in the swimming pool with Sam Amico, who you know Sam, and Sam is a longtime buddy of mine. Sam was a kid. And so we're swimming, you're there, and we go over to you and we start talking basketball with you a little bit. And, you know, I was working in Texas as a sportscaster, and I thought, let's leave this guy alone. He doesn't need to be talking basketball. And Sam, the kid, says, Mark, they drafted this point guard. Why did they draft a point guard? And you said, I don't know why they did either, because I'm going to beat him out. And I'm sure you don't remember that, but you said it. And I thought at the time, and since, I thought that Lenny's part of that because he gave you the confidence to feel that way about your game.
Yeah, it really was. And, you know, I had a great relationship with Lenny. Matter of fact, when you Googled after, you know, Lenny's death, a lot of places, the first picture that popped up was a picture of Lenny and me and just kind of talking during a game. And Lenny kind of coaching me. And that was just, you know, an iconic picture because that's really how our relationship was. It wasn't a Lenny yelling at me kind of thing or whatever, but it was just, I was an extension of him on the floor. We would talk during games. You know, and to Lenny's credit, because I think Lenny, because he was a great player himself, he understood the fact that the coaches on the sidelines can only see so much of what's going on the floor. But the point guards out there, and I remember, you know, often during games, you know, how things were going or flowing, Lenny might say, hey, Mark, what are you seeing out there? He would listen to what I had to say, and sometimes he would take my thoughts, and sometimes he didn't. But we had that kind of relationship, a respect for one another, to try to find a way to make our team better, an opportunity to win those games. And I just loved, obviously Lenny's IQ was off the charts, and so just to talk basketball with him, even in the course and the heat of a game, was awesome.
So is that, basically, that's what made that offense click, was just the ability of you had that relationship and that rapport with Lenny, and he had that basketball brain and yours as well combined, because, boy, it was such beautiful basketball watching you guys play. And I got to take a half step back on that as well, Mark. I'm 37. I can't think of a world where somebody wouldn't play pick and roll basketball. Just that idea that you didn't come from a pick and roll system breaks my brain.
Well, you know, like I said, I'm, you know, unfortunately showing my age, but I mean, you go back to that era of college basketball, even high school. I mean, the pick and roll, that was, people just didn't play that way. It was more of like motion, you know, motion offenses and passing and cutting and not utilizing, you know, your big guys other than screeners and things like that. But so it opened a whole new world for me, you know, particularly playing with Brad and Larry and Hot Rod, having 7-footers, you know, knocking my guys off and opened me up for jump shots. And then when I established how good a shooter I was, of course, the bigs would have to jump out and it opened up passing lanes. And I mean, it was like my eyes got big as saucers, man. I was like, man, where has this been all my life? And I told, you know, after I'd been in the league a couple of years, I called my college coach, Bobby Crimmins at Georgia Tech, and I was like, Coach, man, what were you thinking? We had John Sally, and I mean, I'm like, we could have been doing this all in college, but he got a big kick out of that. But yeah, it was great. It wasn't, you know, happening at the lower levels. And now, of course, grade schoolers are running pick and roll offense. So
the one thing about that offense, Mark, and I've always said this whenever anybody's asked me, you know, what offense did you like? It was Lenny's offense with your group, because the spacing on the floor was incredible. The ball movement was great. A lot of it based in the pick and roll, obviously, but the body movement as well. And it seemed like you guys were able to get a good shot anytime you wanted them based on the...
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters: your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more.
New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
You know, the principles that Lenny put in with spacing and ball movement.
Yeah, the word space, that was a huge key, and Lenny talked about that a lot. That was a, you know, embedded in what we did to give each other space to operate. And then when you draw on a second defender, you just make the right play. And our team was so good at that. And, you know, it was in an era where the three-point shot wasn't taken as much as it is now. I laugh because twice I led the league in three-pointers attempted at 5 a game. And so that's like a first quarter stat now.
And that's cute, isn't it, Mark?
I mean, the Cavs what, shot 67 threes last night.
Yeah, it was in the 60s.
Something crazy. And I'm like, you know, so we didn't do that. So we were scoring, you know, it wasn't unusual for us to score 115, 120 points a game, not taking hardly any threes. And that just shows how well we moved the ball and spacing, and the ball found the open man, and we just never had problems scoring the basketball.
Mark Price joining us on the Fan Hotline, legendary Cavaliers guard. Always appreciate his time and talking to him. Mark, do you see a world in the modern NBA where you could have a guy like Brad Doherty again, where you could kind of dump it down to the post in him and let him operate and run an offense through that, or is that from a bygone era?
Well, I think I could see it still happen. I think that, you know, there's hope in the fact that there's basically one team in the league that still does that a little bit, and that's Denver. You know, they got an MVP candidate every year in Jokic, and, you know, they do play through him a lot, you know, albeit more in the high post area necessarily than maybe the low post. But when he's down in the low post, he obviously can score the ball. And so, I miss that style of basketball. I mean, there were so many great big men, you know, from, you know, Brad to Patrick Ewing to Elijah Wan to David Robinson. I mean, you just go down every team, it seemed like, had a 7-footer that if you didn't double team him, he was going to score down in the low post. And so that opened up opportunities to kick outs and spacing and swinging the ball. But so I don't know. I don't know. The game tends to change, you know, over the years from time to time. Right now it's a guard-heavy, three-point shooting-heavy league. Maybe a team comes along and wins one with a good low post player, and the league starts copycatting that. So who knows? But right now it doesn't look like anytime soon it's going to go back to that.
Mark Price joining us. Mark, what did it mean for your rookie group, you, Brad, Hot Rod, and then later, you know, Larry Nance coming in, Craig Elo, part of that team, to have a guy like Lenny, who I characterized when we chatted about him yesterday, he had such a high character and high integrity, a guy like that to lead you through the early part of your career and clearly form what was a team of really good guys who really knew how to play the game.
Yeah, Lenny was great. You know, I tell people this all the time, and I played for a lot of really good coaches in my career, but I think Lenny, probably of all the coaches that I played for, you know, of managing a season, particularly an 82-game season, there weren't a lot of super highs and a super lows with Lenny. You know, it was basically one game at a time, win or lose, whatever, you know, close game, blowout, whatever. You know, yesterday's game was yesterday's game, and we got the next game tomorrow. And he was just had a great way of kind of, you know, not letting you get too hyped and not letting you get too upset. And just kind of, he was so calm during all those situations one way or the other. And it really, you know, worked well for our guys and our team.
Mark, always great to talk to you. I hate to talk to you under these circumstances, but your thoughts on Lenny, I know, mean an awful lot to basketball fans here in Northeast Ohio. So thank you for sharing them. We appreciate it, buddy. What a perfect match for a scoring point guard in Mark Price to have a scoring point guard who had already coached in the league for 13 seasons and won an NBA championship as a player coach in Seattle. Lenny going on to coach, well, he coached 32 years in the NBA. Think about that. 32 years coaching NBA basketball.
That's amazing.
Yeah. And so good for him. 12 more after he left the Cavs, 32 season total. It was unbelievable. And one more Lenny thought, 15 years in a playing career, 9-time All-Star, and one of just 5 people in the Hall of Fame as both a player and a coach. And the others, John Wooden from UCLA, who was a phenomenal college basketball player at Purdue, Bill Sharman, the Laker, a Laker coach and Celtic player, Tommy Heinsohn, and Bill Russell, and Lenny Wilkins.
That's unbelievable.
Yeah, it really is.
Yeah, if you get a chance, do some YouTube clips of Lenny. You'd be blown away. He really could play. And he could play today, too.
You know who he played like a lot? Delonte West. Left-hander. And
yeah, I could see that.
He played with great pace and never was in a hurry. And Delonte was the same way. Delonte always had another gear. But Delonte played at his speed and was so very effective. And Lenny was just an incredible player. You got to go back and watch some old film and check some things out. A couple of other basketball things that we want to talk about. One of them, last night, if you missed it, the Pistons won a game in overtime, and J.B. Bickerstaff has the Pistons playing really well. If you happen to have Cade Cunningham on a fantasy basketball team, you were really impressed when you saw that he had 46 points, 12 rebounds, 11 assists, and 5 steals last night as they beat up on the Washington Wizards 137-135 in overtime. However, Cade Cunningham had 46 points on 45 shots.
Let's hope your league doesn't cover field goal percentage.
Dude took 45 shots, and he made only 14 of them. Luckily, field goal percentage is not one of the categories in my fantasy basketball league.
That's one of those where you get done and you look at the rim and you look at the ball and go, are either one of these dented? Because if so, we probably need to replace them.
With all due respect to our friend and colleague, Kenny Rota, who's now working in Canton. And Kenny, if you're listening, hi, how are you? Hope it's going well. Kenny does the best Lenny Wilkins impression on the planet. I do a bad one. But when Cade Cunningham took 45 shots, it reminded me of something Lenny said in a post-game thing one time. We're in the Cavs locker room. He's up against the blackboard. He used to do his post-game in the locker room up against the blackboard. We're all standing around. Michael Jordan had just gone for like 33 points against the Cavs. Somebody asked him about it. Lenny said this. Yeah, if I took 30 shots in a game, I'd score 30 points too. Well, Cade Cunningham took 45 and scored 46.
Well, there you go. The man was right.
It's the way to get it done, is it not?
Outstanding.
Big news out of Dallas. Turns out if you trade Luka Doncic, you will get fired. Nico Harrison, general manager of the Mavericks, let go. Out.
As he probably should be. I'm sorry, you traded one of the 5 best players in basketball.
Yep, you sure did.
Yeah, even if you got maybe one of the 15 best players in basketball back, you still traded one of the 5 best players in basketball who was young, all for reasons that we found out later on of, well, you know, we were kind of worried about his body type. Well, he's in great shape this season. I mean, you saw him all through the offseason. He needed the kick in the rear end on that, and he's playing great right now for the Lakers.
And maybe he opened his eyes because he's down, what, 30 or 40 pounds.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
He's in great shape.
He's in fantastic shape. And you, for some reason that nobody could figure out, didn't shop this guy around to get the Godfather offer. Instead, you got Anthony Davis and some filler in between for one of the 5 best players in basketball, and you could argue maybe one of the 3 best players. Yeah, you probably should be unemployed.
You're out of work.
Yeah, that's just how this goes. Oh, and you handed Klay Thompson a massive contract, and now he's coming off the bench and not playing as much as he should be. Because sadly, Father Time has caught up to Klay Thompson, which breaks my heart.
That's absolutely the truth. Number to join us, 216-474-0092. Mary Kay Cabot of The Plain Dealer, Cleveland.com. Coming up next, right here on Baskin and Phelps.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.